Well, Father, Lord God, I pray that as we're settling down, Lord, and as we are getting ready to worship you, Father, I pray that you help us get our minds on you. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you help us just to focus on what you want us to learn today, Father, and I just pray that everything else is just quiet around us, Lord God, that we're not worried about what others think of us, Lord God, or we're not worried about the things that have happened this week, Father, but we just truly surrender to you and to your agenda, Father. And you guys can feel free to stand if you want. Sometimes that really helps to worship.
Revival, and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's a rhythm of the gospel song. Once you choose it, you can't lose it. And there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I got this old church choir singing in my soul. I got this sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I got this heart overflowing cause I've been restored. That I wander, turn to mountains that I just can't climb. You are with me, never leave me. Cause there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I've got this old church choir singing in my soul. I got this sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I got this heart overflowing.
Well, Father, Lord God, I just pray that if there's anything this morning, Lord, that is distracting us from you, Father, and stealing our joy, Father, I just pray right now, Lord God, that we just don't let the enemy win, Lord God, that we can just say, Lord, I come to you this morning and I'm asking you to help me be an overcomer, Father, and not be distracted by the things of the world, Father, but what you want me to do, Lord. Help us to keep that joy. And that doesn't mean, walking around and pretending like we're happy all the time. That means that we can get over what we're going through. We can say, no matter what's happening right now, Father, I know we're going to get past this. And I know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Father, once again, Lord God, just I pray that as we're worshiping this morning, Lord God, that we are free from distraction, Lord, even if it's mess ups, Lord God. But we want your Holy Spirit just to talk to us, Father. Help our flesh to get out of the way, Father. Help us to completely just surrender, Lord. And right now, Lord God, I just lift up if anyone's struggling with having worries, Lord God, and doubts, which is probably all of us, Father. But I pray, Lord, that instead of us trying to get things done out of our own strength, Father, I pray, Lord, that you help us just to lean on you. A lot of us have grown up. We are used to doing things ourselves and doing things in our own strength. And Father, we just can't do it. And I think time tells that we end up losing that fight a lot. But Father, when you are giving us strength, when you are helping us be overcomers, Father, that's when we know that we can just rest in you and we don't have to struggle and we don't have to fight anymore.
Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love can't. carries me. Joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through, and I can feel this God soul rising up in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing.
So, Father, I just have something in my heart, and I'm just trying to see how to put it. You know, when the Lord loves us and when he frees us and he makes us this new person, it is like this amazing and this true love. I know that, you know, when we're younger and when we have crushes and little things like that, we get so excited. But I'd say pretty much 100% of the time, it always ends in heartbreak. You know, we let our heart get away from us. That's why the Bible says, don't awaken your heart before it's time. But this is a love that's everlasting. And through heartaches, it always holds you. It always picks you up. It always carries you. Father, help us to want that true love, Lord God. Not worldly love, not the short feelings of thinking that we're in love and when it's just flesh, Father. But help us want that eternal love over everything, Lord God.
What it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. By your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun, I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
You know, that's so true. We can only imagine what it's going to be like. A lot of people try to figure it out, but I'm just glad that we have something to hope and look forward to. That this is not it. You know, a lot of people, they walk through this world and they just think it's all about gaining fame and money and adoration. But Father, we have something so much more amazing to look forward to. We know that this place is just a blip. It's going to go so fast. Father, help us just to be excited about the amazing eternal things to come. Help us not to be distracted. Help us not to long for the things that make our flesh feel good, but Father, help us to long for the things that make our spirit feel good, Lord. We give you this day, Lord God, and we are so ready to learn, Father, and we just ask that you teach us. Amen.
Thank you, Amy Amster. Hi, Mayor. Hey, Hezekiah, I'm going to give you the microphone. Thank you. All right. Good morning, everybody. You know, when I hear Amy Amster talk about that, you know, just how this is just not our home, you know, and, you know, I think everybody knows in here, but there's always new people. People come in and out all the time. You know, it's not about going to church. That's not the main goal why we're here, right? It's not about going to youth group or even going about Bible studies. Those things are all wonderful things, okay? They're wonderful things in that they help us to come to know the true and living God, my Lord, my God, my Jesus. You know, when she says, Amy said something as she was praying, you know, we just have a hope that goes beyond this world. When we think about that, when we think about a hope that goes beyond this world, you know, when I think of the word hope the way the world uses it, it's like, you know, oh, I hope Pastor Darren's sermon won't be too long. Or whatever, but that hope that the Bible talks about is a confident assurance, an expectation. So when she says we have this hope for the future, I want you to know that's what we have for those who have given their hearts and lives over to Jesus Christ and are seeking him and following. That's what we have. There's a confidence. There's an assurance. We know who we're serving, and we know where we're going when we're done, and we know who's going to pay us. Even if this world isn't rejecting us or talking bad about us or whatever, we know who we serve, and that's the God we want you to come to know. Because once you know him like that, once you know him personally, once you know him by faith, by trust, by even by experience, as you put your faith and trust in him, you will come to know him in a whole another way that's real and life-changing. Does that make sense? And here's the thing. We're going to give out some stuff a little bit later. If it doesn't make sense, we're going to give out some stuff to folks we've given out before, but in fact, I'm going to do it now. Can I have one of those? I've given a bunch out of these, but we always get new hooks coming in. This is a little something by Robert Munger. He wrote, and this is called My Heart, Christ's Home. Okay? How many, just out of curiosity, how many have read of that before? Okay. All right, some of you. All right. So if you have not, we'd like you, this is a teeny tiny thing. This is something that you could read in the library, which we all know where that is, right? You can read it anywhere. This is tiny. So we're going to hand these out because chapter 3, as we've just finished chapter 3, it was all about this is not our home. This is not where we're supposed to focus our energy, our time, our attention. Our home is up in heaven, okay? And so, Chris, would you hand these out? If you have not received one of these, we just want to give it to you as a gift. There's zero obligation. We don't want anything from you. It's not about our church. It's not about a denomination. It's about Jesus Christ. And so if you would, yes, thank you. Raise your hand and take one of these. And I just ask you to read it in Jesus' name and to pray about it as you read it. And it's easy to understand. If I can understand it, well then, let me tell you, you all can understand it. So we just want to give that to you as a gift in Jesus' name because we want you to come to know the true and living God in that way. Okay, we have a couple of announcements to go through real quickly, and then we'll go to the Bible study. First off, we do have, again, free bread loaves. We've got tons of bread. Honey, did we get some for ourselves? Where's my wife? Is she even in here? Is she in the children's ministry? Okay, good. Okay, so there's tons of French bread loaves. There's tons of those little bread bowls and hoagie rolls. There's tons of, just take them home with you, just free as a gift in Jesus' name. We got like 3 bags of bagels. So if you've got a family, grab some of them, take them home, probably at least 200 bagels. I don't know how many are there now, but just take them in Jesus' name. Also, we don't take up tithes and offerings here, but we do receive them in the bird box in the back of the sanctuary there. And so we'd be happy to receive them in Jesus' name. That's where your tithes and offerings go. If you guys also would, just to help to get to know one another, as there's people coming in and out all the time, if you would just put on one of these name tags, which is back by on the bench, just so we can kind of get to know you better. Now, how many people know who this is? Thank you. Nicholas knows. All right, that's from The Princess Bride. That's a little case you guys aren't cool like me and you don't know. You killed my father, right? Anyway, okay. So also this next week, if you can and you're able, please see Gary. The Holy Smoke Barbecue is going to be out at the Gamble Mansion. We're going to bring that big old smoker out there, and we're going to feed all the folks out there that we can. Usually, we raise $2,000 or $3,000, and all that goes to Solve House, which is some housing centers that house young girls who want to have their babies instead of having an abortion. And so all the proceeds go to that. See Gary or Mark for info on that. And you are free to miss church next Sunday. You've got a buy as long as you're serving the Lord in this way. Also, Secret Keeper Girls at the Nazarene Church, February 27th. If you're from the ages of 7 to 12, I want to encourage you to go see that. It's $26 at thejoyfm.com. We want to encourage you to take part of that. And also, Loving Hands Ministry will be out I think either this month or actually I think it's next month, the month after that. All right, I'm trying to think what else we have. Also, we would just like to invite you to join us for prayer around 9 or 9:30 every morning. I was able to make it here this time. I just love that time of prayer. So if you're a prayer warrior and you can make it out here early, we just want to encourage you to come pray for our community, pray for the folks. It's a wonderful time and there is power in prayer. Also, men's Bible study on Tuesday. At 6 p.m. here at Home Fellowship Church. Gary, we're going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter...
We're going to be chapter 6. Read it ahead of time to make it better. Also, I've got 20 pounds of pork shoulder.
Oh, yes.
Given this all for Tuesday and Thursday night dinners.
Awesome. Okay, good. Oh, I love that. Sorry. I love that. Okay, so as a guy, whenever I hear pork, barbecue, stirs something in me. Okay. So, men's Bible study and dinner, 6 p.m. for dinner, and then after that is the Bible study on Tuesday night. On Wednesday, we have the Transformers Youth Group, 6:30, 8:30. Now, we are going to be going this week, for those of you who don't know, we're going to be going to see the movie Samson, and about finishing strong. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. We're going to send out a text to let you know if we're going to meet here or at the movie theaters. But I think we've got about 15 folks that are going to be going to that. from our youth group. And so that's going to be on Wednesday. And then also we have our barbecue and Bible study from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. This Thursday, if you want to come out for some food to feed your belly and also, more importantly, to feed your soul. And for the 5K run, we had about a dozen of us. A few people got sick beforehand, but at Shepherd's Art Christian School, we had about 12 of us that actually were able to run that didn't have the flu. And when I say run, of course, by that I mean walk. That's what I did. This little rascal, if you don't know him, Nicholas Zomer, he had the best time. And he was at, he did a 5K in 20, either 6 or 28. Yes. Now, Elijah usually wins these things, but since he was just getting over bronchitis, he wasn't able to run, and he had to walk with his old man, the old school. And Mrs. Martin, look, you can see Mrs. Martin. All you just see is her head there, but she was there as well. All right. Also, if we do have discussion here, please make sure you grab the mic and hold it up to your mouth as it's being recorded for others to listen to throughout the country on the web. Okay, so we are in the book of Colossians. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Would you grab some, Mr. Chris, and pass them out? We do use Bibles here. You never want to go to a church that doesn't open their Bibles. You want to keep it open at home, in Bible studies, continually. So we want you to be in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, talk to us and we will get you one. If you're in need of one, we'll get you one free in Jesus' name. But we're talking about the substance, supremacy, and sufficiency of Jesus Christ. We just got done with chapter 3 where we were talking about this is not our home. And we're talking about the resurrected life. How God, when God does a supernatural work, you know, Jesus, when Nicodemus came to see Jesus, he said to this religious guy who came to see him, he said, you must, one more, Chris, right here. He said, you must go to church. Did he say that? No. He said, you must, what did he say? He said, you must be born again, born from above, born by the Spirit. It's a supernatural thing. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, when you really do that, a supernatural transaction takes place. And God's Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And he'll draw you towards the things of God. He'll draw you to his heart. He'll draw you to his word. He'll draw you towards the things of the Spirit. And he'll do it supernaturally from the inside out. You don't have to clean yourself all up to get to God. God says, hey, I just want you to come as you are, and I'll clean you up from the inside out, and I'll do a work from you. And we talked about that resurrected life, putting off the old self. Boy, it seems so long ago, that 2 months in chapter 3. But anyway, putting off the old self, like taking the dirty, stinky clothes and throwing away and putting on the new self that honors God, you know, the things that honor God. And we talked about how that's going to change our lives, our relationships, husband, wife, friends, children, with our children, with our coworkers. It changes everything. That's what a real transformation does in a person's life. And we finished up with the last few verses in Colossians chapter 3:22 and 4:1. We talked about the employer-employee relationships and how that changes. You know, if you're a Christian employee, then things change in how you do stuff. You're no longer stealing the boss's time or taking stuff from him, right? Because you deserve it anyway. You work harder than this other guy. No, you're going to be honest. You're going to be truthful because you want to honor the Lord. It's him who you work for. You're not going to be lazy. You're going to work hard. You're going to be one of the best workers out there. They're going to see there's something different about that guy. You're going to be a person of integrity. When others are telling you, just cut corners here, you're going to say no. Because you know what? Ultimately, you don't work for your boss. You work for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who you represent. You're not going to be a complainer, a whiner. You're not going to be an Eeyore, right? Well, I guess I'll do the job. Grumble, grumble, complain, complain, complain. You're not going to do that. In fact, you're going to be joyful as an employer. And because God changed that. And as an employer, you're going to be fair. and how you treat people with their evaluations, their critiques, their treatment. You're going to be just in your expectations and decisions. You're going to be respectful. You're going to be a servant leader. You're going to be kind. You're going to be generous, kind with your words and your actions. And now we're reaching the end of Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verses 2 to 18, where we're going to talk about the prayer and practice. And the end of the letter, which is just the closing and completing of it. And when I was looking at this in the book of Colossians, I'm thinking to myself, man, most of this part of this letter is just like him giving greetings to this person, that person. And what are we going to do with it? Should we just skip it?
No.
What's the answer to that?
No.
Nada. Of course not, because all scripture is God's breathed, right? It's here for a purpose to teach us. So I think we're going to be able to find some good nuggets in all of this stuff. So we're going to take it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, so that everybody understands what the Word of God means in context. And we're going to find some good stuff in chapter 4. And so we start off in verse 2. Okay, we start off in verse 2 when it's going to talk about prayer and practice of a Christian. If you've been born again, if you're seeking the Lord. It says this, verse 2 says, I think I'll even have it up on the screen. Oh, good for me. Get out of the way here. This is further instructions to the church at Colossae. He's saying this, he's like, here's what I want you to do. After I'm telling you all about the stuff, put off the old self, put on the new self, get out of your life, what to put in your life, how to honor me in all your relationships. He's like, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to close this letter. And I don't know if you've ever written an email or something or a letter, but isn't it true, at least for me, it's usually the first part's like, hey, how you doing? Hope things are going well. And then the last part's like, okay, this is what I really want to share with you. So this is what Paul's coming to. And I find it interesting what he says. He says to the Colossians, here's what I want you to do, guys, gals. He says, I want you to devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer. That's the first thing he says. That word in Greek for devote, it actually means this. It means steadfastly attentive to. So he's saying, I want you to be steadfastly attentive to prayer. He says, it means I want you to be constantly diligent in prayer. It means I want you to continue all the time in prayer. That's what the word in Greek means. So he's saying, he's using a strong word. Now, let me ask you guys a question. Does that mean that you shouldn't be in this Bible study? Instead, you should be, our Father, one in heaven, hallowed be the name of God, kingdom come, thy will be done. Is that what that means? Does that mean you shouldn't be going to work or driving because you could be just praying, right? Does that mean that? Or what does that mean? What is devote yourself to prayer? Be steadfastly attentive to. Continue all the time. And what is he saying by saying that? Yeah, Gary, I'm going to, yeah, Hezekiah, would you bring him a microphone? I just want to hear what that means. What do you think that means?
It's not either or. It's not that we have to choose attending church or praying. We can pray while we're in church that the Lord would reveal more to us besides what he's teaching through you.
Good. What else? What is it? Okay, right there.
It means be in constant communication with the Father through the Son in everything that we do. It's like if you're driving your car, you're holding the wheel, but he's in the car with you and you're constantly communicating with him about what's going on in the car and in your life. And then when you get out of the car and you're walking to work, then he's right there with you, walking with you. So you can talk with him about what's going on at work. And when you're at work and you're sitting at your desk, it's like he's sitting there at your desk with you. And you can consult with him about what's going on and what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. Or
how do you interact with employees? What if you go out to lunch with one of those employees? What do you talk? Everything.
Just sit an extra chair for the Lord Jesus Christ to be sitting there with you so that you can Communicate with him before you communicate with the other person, because he will then communicate through you to that person what message he wants to deliver.
That makes sense. Good. What else? That's good. Yes, go ahead. Thank you. Devote yourself to prayer. What is that?
Well, I don't know. I could be all off.
That's okay. We want you to say it anyway.
This came to me. I love pray without ceasing.
Oh, that's good.
So you just constantly, it's always there. It becomes, God just teaches you more and more to pray without ceasing. You wake up and you're praying without ceasing. Whatever comes to your mind, you're praying about it. And
so you're just praying about the day. You're praying for your family. You're praying about the decisions you're making in life.
The phone's ringing. Oh, yeah. Whoever it is, Lord, open my, you know, whatever. And you teach your children this at a very young age, and it's so much easier than learning it as an adult sometimes. So
good.
Pray without ceasing.
Good. Good. What else? Anything else? Yeah, Tim. Okay, Sue.
I think that he gives us instruction to devote ourselves because it's so easy to lose focus.
Ah.
It's something that isn't natural. You know, like this is like such a good reminder that you have to make it your intent, or you can get to the end of the day and have totally lived the whole day without thinking of Jesus. It's easy.
Yeah. Or asking him what he wants to do in this relationship, in this conversation, in this decision. It's easy to do, right? Because you're busy. You got to get it done, right? We're doers, aren't we? We're human doings. Oh, wait a minute. We're human beings. Huh. So we need to be in prayer. We need to be devoted to prayer and to the Lord. Because what he has to say to somebody is so much more important than what I have to say to somebody. Nobody really wants to hear from me. Can I just ask you, how many would like to hear from the Lord? Raise your hand. Okay. How many would just like to hear from me? Okay, there's two. Three. Okay. Well, let me just correct you. God is so much better. Okay. So here's the deal. I'm in prayer that God would use this donkey, this knucklehead, to speak words of life to you, words of truth to you. So God would put that in your heart, that it would be yours, that you would own it. Do you see what I'm saying? How many of you, don't raise your hands for this, how many of you prayed that that would happen today? That God would speak through me. Do you think about doing that? Some of you did, maybe. How many of you prayed and said, Lord, will you give me listening ears to what your Holy Spirit has to say? Right? Because I don't want to listen to this truth. I don't want to hear it. Pray, got it, blah, 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 let's move on. Do we want to hear it? Are we listening? Are we taking it in our hearts? Or are we just putting it up here in our memory banks? God wants it in your heart, right? He says, devote yourself to prayer. And I love this. He says this in Psalm 116:2, the New Living Translation just says it so beautifully in this particular verse. It says, because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Isn't that awesome? We'll try to put that out on Facebook. But Martin Luther said this, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. It's that intimacy. It's that relationship. Okay? F.B. Meyer said, the greatest tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. This is so neat to me. That's such a tragedy, because here's the cool thing, and I don't know. How many of you guys have cell phones? Okay. Now, I've got Metro PCS, which means two things. Okay. Number one, it means it's cheap, because I'm cheap. Frugal. How about that? Frugal sounds better. Frugal with my money. All right, so we use Metro PCS, but that also means my coverage. If you use Metro PCS, sometimes you get signal. Do you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you don't get signal. You walk into Walmart, You go more than about 10 feet, lots. It's a little frustrating. But here with the Lord, you can pray. It's like you've always got the connection. Do you know what I'm saying? You are never in a place or in an area or in a situation where God is not available to you. And that's an awesome, cool thing. And here's another cool thing. The creator of the universe is asking you to ask him for things and to talk with him. Think about this. The creator of all things, who created the world, this universe, the receptors in your eyeballs so that you can see, your taste buds, your brain, the complexities of this cellular structure, all these things, he cares enough about you and he says, hey, I want you to talk with me. That's how precious you are to me. That's how valuable this relationship is to me. I want you to speak with me. I want us to communicate. Jerry, what you were talking about is so true. It's that communication with God. He even says, listen, this is not my words. This is God's word. And I forgot to put up the verse. I think it's Matthew 7:7, off the top of my head. If it's wrong, somebody can look that up for me and correct me. It's in that area. But this is what he says on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. And the tense is ask and to continue to ask. Seek and continue to seek. Knock and the door will be opened. He's asking you. And if you look at that, A-S-K, ask, talk to him. You can share your concerns, your struggles, the good, the bad, every situation with him. That's our God. And that is really cool. Now, a lot of the times, we don't ask. Here's what his word says here, and I want you to know this. This is in the book of James, chapter 4, verses 2 to 3. He says this. He says, you know what? I'm telling you to ask. He says, yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Right? You're not asking God for it. And listen to this. And even when you do ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You're asking, you're only wanting what will give yourself pleasure instead of what's going to give God pleasure, right? Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. That means in agreement with my name and my character. Do you know what I'm saying? So somebody, I watched this, oh, goodness gracious. I won't say his name. Maybe I should. I always wonder about these things. I was watching a YouTube video of this famous preacher. I won't tell you who he was. And he was explaining the story of how, you know, he's doing all these conferences every weekend and having to fly here to there. And, you know, he doesn't want to be on the commercial planes where people are, because people recognize him. And, you know, they're going to stop him and ask him to pray. And he doesn't want to do that. So that's why he had to get a beautiful million-zillion-dollar corporate jet. But the story doesn't end there. And then as he was flying in his corporate jet, his million-zillion-dollar global corporate jet, he says, oh my goodness, this is just so disgusting to even say, but this is what is out there. He said, you know, God spoke to him and says, is this new million-zillion-dollar jet, are you happy with it? And he said, oh, yes, I am, Lord. And he's like, then you're not trusting me in faith. It's like, what? Well, I need a really bigger. Because here's what he said that God spoke to him. Because God wants you to have, even though you have a great million-zillion-dollar, I want you to have an even better, brand new million-zillion-zillion-dollar jet. And so that's why he just bought the latest and greatest, even though he had a new one. Now he has a newer one. Now, is that in agreement with what you see Jesus' character in Scripture? As he's washing the disciples' feet, the dirt off his feet, as he's serving other people, as he's giving, as he's caring? Of course not. He says, if you ask anything in my name, or 1 John says, according to my will, I'll hear you and I'll do it. Now, that doesn't mean you get everything you want. Anybody know who Garth Brooks is? Okay, not a famous theologian, but he's got a few good country songs. But he has this one song saying, I can't even say it without saying, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Okay, all right, don't you mock me. But you know what? Think about some of the things you've prayed for. I just really pray that that relationship would work out. Oh my goodness, you totally dodged a bullet with that one. Oh, I just pray for this job. And that we've prayed for somebody. He knows what we have need of before you even ask, the Bible says, right? But he still wants you to communicate. But if the answer is no, or yes, or maybe not quite yet, or not in the way you think, you can trust him because he's a good dad. He's a good heavenly father, right? Listen to this. Now, because he's saying, I want you to ask, I want you to pray, I want you to come to me. You know, when you're not getting it because you don't. He's asking you to ask him. That's amazing to me. So here's what it means. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, so let us become boldly before the throne of our gracious God. Okay, he wants you just to come to him, just as you are. Ask him. Come boldly before the throne. So many people, they're afraid to pray. Oh, I don't know what to pray. Oh, I don't know the right words. Somebody this morning was saying, well, I don't know if I'm praying right. And other people tell me, I didn't pray because I was afraid to say the wrong words. Listen, just speak to God. Talk to him, right? He's a good dad. And if you don't have a good father, if you didn't have a good heavenly father, you can have a picture in your mind of what a good heavenly father would be. Who loves you and cares about you. Do you understand? It's your good dad. He wants you to come to him. I love it when my kids ask me for stuff. One of my kids asked me for something. I was just too lazy to get it at that moment. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if you've ever been there. I was just too lazy. I felt terrible. I had to ask his forgiveness the next day for just being a lazy knucklehead. I love it when they come to me, that they trust me and that they love me enough to do that. Because there's power in prayer. R.A. Torrey said, when the devil sees a man or woman who really believes in prayer, he trembles as much as he ever did. There is power in prayer. Prayer changes things, and he changes our hearts as well. Okay? For sometimes those things. So here's some questions that people normally ask about prayer. So who do we pray for? And the bottom line is, we pray for one another, the scripture says. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. I want you to pray. Are you doing that? I don't know. I'm praying for many of you. And I'm so hoping that you are looking to other people to see, I need to pray for you. I need to pray for that person. Do you ask the Lord who I can pray for when you come to church? Some of you do. I would ask every time, show me somebody, Lord, that I can pray for. Even reveal something to me, that I can be praying for someone. Connie, God bless you. May the Lord strengthen and encourage you for your faithfulness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Pray. Seek, knock, ask. Pray for one another. Some people also, these are also questions, can I pray alone or do I pray in groups? And the answer is, yes. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us that he says, when you pray, you know, he says, I want you to go in your like your little prayer closet. He goes, I want you to be alone. Don't babble on like the hypocrites, right? Babylon. Don't babble on like the hypocrites who think they'll be heard for their mighty words, their many words. You can pray alone. He goes, I just want you to pray in secret. Don't make a big show out of it, right? So he tells us to do that, but he also allows us to pray in groups, okay? Acts chapter 12, verse 5 and 12, if you look back in the group of Acts, some of the disciples were taken by Herod, and they were praying for their release in prison. And they had like a prayer group together, and they were praying for Peter to come out and to be released from prison. In fact, something weird happened as they're there praying. For Peter's release, there's a knock on the door. And Rhoda goes and answers it. One of the girls answers it. Hello? It's Peter. Let me in. She ran back. She's like, I don't know what to do. Peter's here. No, you my silly little girl. He's not here. We're praying for his release, right? We're trusting in the Lord. We got a prayer meeting together. Meanwhile, same thing's going on. It's me, Peter. Open up. He's here. He's really here. Oh, go open the door. Sure enough, the Lord had already let him out of prison. God was answering their prayers. But the bottom line is, you can pray alone or you can pray in groups. It's okay either way. Yes, Mark.
If you go back to
thank you.
The previous slide, it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's the story of when Peter was knocking at the door. There was an effectual group of people that were praying, and God answered their prayer.
Yes.
The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it works.
Yes.
It's not like we're just saying, oh, Lord, or no. Something like that.
There are people
praying
for you.
We are praying to a living God.
Yes. There are people praying for you here today. Here's some more questions that people ask about prayer, because he says, devote yourself to prayer. Okay. So we're, you know, can I repeat my prayers to God or not? Yes or no? Good. You guys are well taught. I'm so proud of you. The answer is yes and no. Okay. What? Okay. Going back to what we were talking about in Matthew chapter, he doesn't want us just to repeat words, just be all flowery and showy, right? Okay. Like the pagans. But even Jesus repeated his prayer. Remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26? And he was praying. He said, Lord, if this cup can be taken from me. And he says that he prayed the same thing three times. But that was from his heart. See, the deal is, it's not for a show. It's not so you can say big words. Like, people get afraid to pray because they don't have fancy words. I don't have fancy words. I just asking the Lord what's on my heart. I'm not thinking about what you're thinking of me. I just want to talk to the Lord. And when you're praying, you know what? I'm just agreeing with you. If you don't use the really cool words or awesome Bible words or say it just right, do you know what I'm thinking of you? Oh, it's so awesome that they're just praying from their heart. Lord, I agree with my sister in prayer. Lord, exactly. I pray that too for my brother. Yes, let it be done. That's what I'm praying. I'm not thinking how you messed up words. Who cares about that? Us focus on the Lord. You know what I mean? So let all that stuff go. Just speak to him. Okay? And remember, it's not a monologue. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, so I'm going to pray, and here's my, you guys know what a shopping list, right? Okay, here's my 10 things. I'd like eggs, God, milk. I would like a bonus in my job. I'd like to make this situation easier. Help my friend Betty. No, it's not just the monologue. He wants us to make those requests, right? But here's more what he wants. Andrew Murray said it best. He said, prayer is not a monologue where you just one-way thing. It's a dialogue. It's where you're speaking to the Lord, but you're also listening. And he says, God's voice is the most essential part. Listening to God's voice is the secret of the assurance that he will listen to mine. Does that make sense? Hearing from the Lord is more important. You're praying, but then everybody's like, okay, now I got to get back to business. Well, maybe he's got something to say to you. You want to attune yourself to expect an answer from him and to listen for it. So we are cruising along in the book of chapter 4, verse 2, aren't we? Here's God's phone number. If you ever get into trouble, guys, you ever need to call? Jeremiah 33:3. Here's God's phone number. You got it straight from the Word of God. Just dial 333. He says in Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great unsearchable things that you do not know. See, that's my God. I don't just talk to him. I hear from him. Maybe not familiar with that in prayer. But God wants to develop that relationship in you, to where it's trusting by faith, and you get to hear as much as you talk. That's an awesome, awesome thing. Here's another one. Does how we approach God in prayer really matter? Okay, some say no. Some say yes. Mm. I know, it's never easy with me, isn't it? Okay, go, okay. If somebody wants to, where's the mic? I don't even know where it is right at this point. But, okay, Elijah, what is that? Does how we approach God really matter? And you're raising your hand. Okay, do you give him a mic? Thanks.
Well, I think the way we approach God should honestly be in respect, because even though, you know, we want so many things or need so many things and have so many things in our lives, we just sit down and bow our heads, you know, in respect and just pray to him, you know, like actually showing some respect when we want to talk to him.
So come to him with a respectful, humble heart. Okay, good. Somebody else? Okay, Amy, would you press, go over there, please.
I totally agree with Elijah. I think we need to respect the Lord. And I think, you know, if we're coming to him with issues or are asking for things, I think we're supposed to have an open heart. And I think it's almost kind of like we have to have pure motives. We can't come to the Lord with our own motives or, well, this is what I want to hear from God. We have to be like, Lord,
yes.
And lay it all down. Have an open heart and be ready to hear his voice. Because if we're like, well, this is what I want. In any relationship, you can't walk up to someone and say, well, this is what I want and this is what I expect. Because they're going to be defensive and they'll say, well, you're not going to get that. And you need to get your heart right too.
Right.
So I think it's just being completely open to him and saying, Lord, I just need your help. Be very humble.
Right. Okay. Then we have another person.
First I answered no.
Okay.
And the reason behind that is that there's so many instances that are created in our life that we break down emotionally. And maybe we don't approach him right, but we are approaching him with humbleness.
Mm-hmm.
So
I hear what you're saying.
I agree with, you know, everyone else, but we should never give up the fact that we may fall on our knees, that we may lay on our bed and cry, that we may whatever.
Yes.
And at that moment,
that's a big boy. He can
okay. Yeah, I'm reaching out to you.
Even in frustration or hurt
or pain or whatever.
Right. I see. Good. Good. Who else? Okay. A couple. Oh, right there. Since you're actually right, just because they're close. Sorry, Gary. This is good stuff, right? You know, this isn't just one teacher in the church. The Holy Spirit speaks through us. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we open it up. In case you guys are unfamiliar with this, why do we let other people speak? Because the Holy Spirit uses all of us to teach, right? Okay, go ahead.
Susan. God knows where you're at when you're coming to him. He knows everything about you and where you're at. And I don't think that I want to take the legalism out of it,
mm-hmm.
because the Lord says come as you are.
Mm-hmm.
But he also tells you to come with thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
You come in respect and awe. You come humbly. And you just pour out what's going on in your life because he wants to hear everything, because he wants to be every part of your life. So I think the one thing that matters is that you're coming to him.
Yeah. Good. Go ahead, Carrie.
Well, I was just thinking that when we pray to God, we should expect him to answer. So we continue in prayer. And we wait for his answer, and we're quiet in front of him. If he doesn't answer that day, then continue in prayer. Continue.
Okay.
I prayed for one thing. This sounds ridiculous, but I prayed for 50 years for one thing, and he gave me it finally. And it was wonderful. It was worth the 50 years of praying for it.
Wow.
But we should expect him to answer it.
Yes, good. All right, get back there. Thanks.
Okay, so where are we going next?
Doesn't matter. Either way. The pressure.
I think the big thing that matters is our heart, our motive, and the question we can ask ourselves is why are we approaching God? Like Jesus pointed out that the people that approach God in prayer to show off and to get recognition and, you know, to speak these flowery words in front of people, their motives were wrong.
Yes.
So the question we can ask ourselves is why are we going to God? You know, is it in that purity and that humbleness and really seeking him or seeking other people's approval?
Yes. Yes. Good. Gary.
Actually, this is probably shorthand for what everybody's saying. I think the Lord is more concerned with the position of our heart than the position of our body.
Right.
I can pray standing up, kneeling, sitting down, laying down.
Hands up, hands down.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. My heart.
Folded.
Right. A broken and contrite heart. Yes. And a spirit of expectation.
Yes. I think all those answers are fantastic, and they're all true. The one thing that God wants, he wants our heart to be right before him when we come. Now, he can take it if you're angry. He can take it if you're frustrated. He can take it if you're in pain, you're hurt, if you're still coming to him with a sincere heart. What God does not like is hypocrisy in prayer, where you're saying, you know, I mean, I know, I got so many bad stories. But anyway, I'm going to set those aside. And say and tell you the good stories. You know, Jesus went and with his disciples, he said, I want you to take a look at this situation. He said, he gave a little parable. He said, two men, I'm trying to remember if it was a parable if he was actually there, but anyway, Luke chapter 18. What he said was two men came to the temple and they came to pray before God. One man was a Pharisee. So imagine him like a super pastor or something like that, right? Okay, so he came with all of his, or super priest, he came with his robes and his righteousness. Everybody, oh, pastor, oh, father, oh, and he came in and he said, you know, and then another guy who was a tax collector, and he was just like, that was like the lowest of the low back then, you know what I mean? He's like,
most hated,
yeah. And they both came before the Lord. And the one Pharisee guy said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like, you know, him over there or her, you know, I just thank you that I'm, you know, righteous, and I tithe. I put stuff in the tithe bird box every week faithfully. Not like, you know, those people there or him back there. I do it, and so I just thank you that I'm not like these sinners, Lord. Bless me and bless me. Amen. And then there was another guy who came before the Lord, and you know what? He just came just as he was. He fell before the Lord, and he said in the scripture that he couldn't even look up because he was so broken over his sin and what he'd done to the Lord. And how he said, Lord, will you just have mercy on me? Lord, I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinner. And Jesus said, hey, do you know which one went away that was pleasing to God? He said it was the one with the humble heart. So God doesn't want that self-righteous or that hypocrisy before him. He just wants us to come with a humble heart. Amen?
Amen?
There's three things in prayer. Oh my goodness, we're taking way too long. God wants us to pray passionately, okay? And here's what the Bible says in James 5:16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Ladies, gentlemen, listen, I don't know how much you pray or how much you don't, but you know what? If your hearts are for the Lord and you're praying, that is so powerful, you have no idea. You don't know what kind of attacks people are under, isn't that true? You don't know all the attacks I'm under, I don't know all the attacks you're under, but you know what? I can be praying for you, can't I? And you can be praying for me, right? Sometimes a lot more is going on in the background than you might realize, and the enemy is working. And the more you have a heart for the Lord, the more the enemy is going to try to trip you up and knock you down. But the fervent prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, and I like that. So pray passionately, you know, not kind of like using words. Listen, I hear this all the time, so if you do this, I'm not knocking you, okay? I hear this a lot. Lord, we thank you for this day, and help us to have a good day. It's not a filler. If you're thanking the Lord for this day, great. Lord, thank you for this day. You know what I mean? Thank you, God. You give me another day of breath. I can serve you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, will you please just make it real from your heart? It's not just words that you say. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And if you thank him, make sure you're thanking him. Pray passionately, believing that he's going to do it. It's powerful and effective. And pray purposefully. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I urge you, this is Paul, I'm urging you, first of all, I want you to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. intercede on their behalf in spiritual warfare and give thanks for them, right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Betty and Daryl and making those chairs. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you, thank you, thank you. There's so many things to thank the Lord for. Thank you for this person. Thank you for that. But I want you to pray for all people. So pray passionately. Pray purposefully. We need it. And if you don't know who needs it, I'm telling you, I need it. So if you don't know who to pray for, you pray for me. And somebody said, driving in a car, you know, that's a great time to pray. Okay, I'm just praying. And you know what? And here's the neat thing. If you get lost in prayer and you're at a stoplight and you have your foot on the brake, somebody will just beep the horn and remind you and you can just continue on. Oh yeah, let's keep going. Of course, if you're driving, keep your eyes open while you're praying. Yes, Heidi. Heidi Ho, neighbor.
As you were we're gonna get to mention, all people includes that person on the road who cuts you off.
Absolutely.
And instead of getting angry,
Lord bless them.
Pray for them.
And the flat tire. No.
They, you know, they may not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ like we do.
Right. Maybe they'll see your bumper sticker. Maybe see you in the store later. Yes, absolutely.
So pray for them. Don't get angry.
Yes, good word. Awesome.
And don't make a move to show your anger.
Yes, agree. You can be angry and sin not. Cast your burdens on the Lord. So pray passionately, pray purposefully, and pray persistently. Jesus told the parable in Luke chapter 18. I won't go into it, but he basically told them this to his disciples so that they would always pray and never give up. All right? After it says, he says, oh, I love this, a couple quotes from Corrie ten Boom. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Is prayer what you go to when something goes wrong? You know what I'm saying? You blew a tire. Oh, now I'll pray. Oh, something's matter. Now I'll pray. Or is prayer a daily part of your life? You're driving on it. I'm praying all the time. Does that make sense? What is it for you? Corrie ten Boom also said this, if you guys know her. He says, when a Christian shuns fellowship with other Christian, the devil smiles. When he stops studying the Bible, the devil laughs. When he stops praying, the devil shouts for joy. Be a man or woman of prayer. Okay, we are going to get through all this chapter. Come on, we got to hurry. Okay, devote yourselves to prayer, he says. And then it says, being watchful and thankful. Listen, there's enemy attacks. If you're praying for somebody, can I tell you something? The attacks are going to come to you. If you're praying for somebody, the enemy is going to attack you and try to beat the snot and discourage you and just so you'll quit. He doesn't like that. So if you're praying for other people, he's not going to like that. So be watchful. Remember when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told his disciples, you know, a lot of people are thinking, oh, I'm good with God. Me and God, we're tight. Victory in Jesus Christ. I don't need to worry about a thing. That's what his disciples thought. And Jesus said, hey, Matthew 26:41, I want you to watch and pray so that you won't fall into temptation because the spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. We need more prayer than we think. Okay? He says, I want you to be sober-minded and watchful because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The enemy wants you dead. Wants you paralyzed, wants you incapacitated. You got to be watchful. That word in Greek just means alert. Don't be snoozing. Do you remember what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane? What did the disciples do instead of praying? They fell asleep. So I guess the Lord would maybe say to me or to some of us, wake up! Bing, 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 bing. It says in 1 Corinthians 16, 13 to 14, it says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men or women, and be strong. Okay? I want you to be watchful. I want you to be alert. And he says, I want you to be thankful. Okay? That's when he says, somebody else mentioned this earlier, 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18, and I want you to pray continually and give thanks. In how many circumstances?
All things.
That's hard to do.
I know.
Listen, oh, not so many people were at my Bible study. Well, I'm going to take my ball and go home, then I'm not going to do the men's Bible study anymore. Well, not so many people, they didn't respond well at youth this week. Oh, then I'm just going to quit and go home. Listen, we can take our ball. How about say thank you, Lord, that I was able to minister. You know, the youth group went to like, I don't know, 9:30 or 10 o'clock Wednesday. Now, I came out immediately with the wrong attitude. I wasn't giving thanks. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, this is going to be, what are we doing? It's so long. And then I sat down, and before I even spoke a word, Holy Spirit said, look what I'm doing here. And there were kids confessing their sin and praying, asking for prayer, and just going around the circle. And I'm thinking, oh, Darren, how quick we are to judge. Foolish, foolish, foolish. So give thanks in all situations, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Max Lucado said this, what if you woke up this morning and had only the things you thanked God for yesterday? We should be thankful people. Listen, if you're born again, you are saved. We were all on a road to hell. Hello? Lake of eternal fire. We've been saved from that. I've been redeemed, born again. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. What am I? I need to be so thankful. Right? Oh, my goodness. Okay. 4:3. Then he goes on to say, Paul goes on to say, and pray for us too, that God may open up a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. That's the gospel. That's the word of God, for which I'm in chains. I think this is great. This is the Apostle Paul that's saying, I want you to pray for us. Would you do that? Like, I'm thinking, the Apostle Paul, he had like handkerchiefs that would like heal people. You know what I'm saying? And yet, he's asking for prayer. What does that tell you? We all need it. It is the greatest weapon in spiritual warfare. Miss Lisa. Thank you.
Just this school year, I had a really great teaching from the Lord. He taught me through what I was trying to teach the kids this year in my class. I have 10 kiddos in my class, and, you know, you think, oh, they're kids that go to a private Christian school. They don't have much going on in their lives. But, you know, the two of them have moms that are extremely ill, and a couple of them are misplaced from their home. And just out of 10 kids, there's a lot going on in that class. And I made a point, some of it just I thought was for spelling, but to put on the board, and we'd always start with praise first. And I said, you know, because we studied the Our Father and the Lord's Prayer. And then I said, you know, we're going to always start with praise. No matter what, we're going to just keep listing our praise. And then we're going to go into prayer, and then we're going to pray for pastors, missionaries, and everybody that that we're thinking of that are out there doing God's work. And it's just been so amazing to actually make ourselves, you know. And we come in with sometimes, you know, 4 days a week. Sometimes we come in with really bad mornings. Not just me, the kids. You know, there's a lot going on in their lives, and just the attitude and the discipline to list them out what we're thankful for, the breath that God's given us, and this place, this very grounds that we're on, and just keep listing and listing. And it's gotten so much easier to list in that category. Before it was like, I've got something for the prayer, and no, let's list the praise first. We're gonna praise Him first. And and it's been so neat with the kids. Go look at that one. It jumped up into the praise column. And you know, so it's just for what something that I thought was to train the kids has really trained my heart, is just to really start thinking and start listing the things we are to be thankful for. And then become before the Lord and ask. And it's just amazing how He'll change things from one column to the praise column when he's ready to answer that. And it changes our heart. And the other thing He taught me was to pray with people, because then we can celebrate together. You know, we see the things in their lives and the things that change from that one column to the next column, yeah. And we can celebrate with them. And it's just so amazing to get together. And I'm with 10-year-olds, and I think they're just amazing prayer warriors. They triumph over me a million times every morning in their prayers. And so I just wanted, those are the two things that I thought the Lord really encouraged me this year with prayer, was to keep praising, just good. Keep listing as much as you can. And sometimes having it written in front of you changes it. You know what I mean? If you're just saying in the air, sometimes it makes it so much more concrete when you visually see it. So if any of you guys really need that, just, you know, I encourage you to try that if it helps encourage your prayer life.
Good. That's it. Good words. In verse 4, he says, pray that I may proclaim the gospel of the word clearly, as I should. You know, the Bible says to preach the word and be ready in season and out of season. That's why we're always teaching the word here. I'm so glad when I see folks at Bible studies, and if you're doing it at home, in your own devotional time, or coming to these Bible studies, you know, what do we have it this week? Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night, we have Bible studies, and Sunday. Fantastic for a tiny church or a small church. Wonderful, amazing, you know, because all scripture is God-breathed or inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us what to do what is right, 2 Timothy 3:16. It goes on to say in verse 5, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Huh, make the most of every opportunity. Here's one thing that 2 Corinthians 5:20 says. When it says be wise in how you act towards outsiders, towards unbelievers, make the most of opportunity, 2 Corinthians says you're an ambassador. Christ has appointed you an ambassador to the nations. It says we are therefore, you and me, if you're born again Christians, you're Christ's ambassadors. That means whenever you go to school, you're Christ's ambassadors. Whenever you go to your friends or to see people, your family, you're an ambassador for him. You represent Jesus Christ. They're looking at you to see, do I see something different in how you speak, what you say, what you don't say, how you live your life? You're an ambassador for them. It goes on to say, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And when the Bible talks about salt, let your conversations always be seasoned with salt. Here's what it basically means. In the Old Testament, or in Jesus' time, salt was a preservative. You'd put it on meat and stuff to keep it fresh. And so he's saying, I want your words to come out of your mouth to preserve the decay. Listen, this world is going in a bad direction, isn't it? It's going down the tubes. I mean, if you just watch TV for the last 10 years, even alone, movies, TV, the language that's going, what's being on, it's all going down the tubes. I want you to be a preserving effect. I want you to say, no, that's not cool. Here's what God says about that. I want you to be truthful about things. I want you to say what I said, because it's going to preserve it from going that way. Okay? He said, I want your conversation to be seasoned with salt. I want it to enhance the flavor. You know, salt does that too, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm seeing something great about Amy. I'm seeing something great about Joel. It's just, I want to know more about it. I want to see, I love Gary's humble attitude. I want to find out more. Why are you that way? Do you know what I'm trying to say? You're flavorful. I want your conversations, people to say, wow, why aren't you complaining? Why aren't you grumbling? Why aren't you gossiping? Why aren't you doing those things? You're different. I want to know about this Jesus. And then lastly, salt increases thirst. You ever go to popcorn? You ever go to movies? We do, and we always get the big tub refillable popcorns, you know, because, again, we're cheap. And if you ever, sometimes I try to cheap out and try not to get the drink with the big tub of popcorn, and you start eating the popcorn, about a quarter of the way through, you're like, ah. I'll pay $100 for a soda at that point. I have to get something to drink. Well, in that same way, your conversation, the way you speak, what you talk about, how you speak, should be drawing people. They should be saying, I don't know what it is about how you talk, but you're talking to this Jesus. I want to know him. Or they're going to be looking at you and going to be like, I don't know what I'm thinking. You're not talking about Jesus at all. Are you making people thirsty to want more of Jesus? That's what salt does. Okay? All right. And here we just come. I'm just going to read this real quickly. So if you hit the light for a second, I don't have any cool slides. This is just the end of the letter here. Okay? And so I'm just going to read it through in verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all about the news about me. He is a dear brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. Man, I don't know about you. Some people call him Tychicus, but whatever. I'd like that said about me, what Paul was saying. You know, he was with Acts. He was with Paul in the book of Acts. And he also carried the letter to Colossae, also to the Ephesian church. And he says in verse 8, I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that we may, that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus. Now, Onesimus was a slave. You will talk about him more in Philemon, that came to know Paul in Rome and gave his life to Jesus. And it says, he's a faithful and dear brother. He's not less than us. He's one of us. He's our brother who is with you. And they will tell you everything that's happening here. And then there's a guy by the name of Aristarchus. He's probably in prison with Paul. And he was with Paul on lots of missionary journeys. He was in Ephesus when they were caught up in a riot. This guy, Aristarchus, he was a faithful brother. He's with him when he got shipwrecked on the Isle of Malta. And it says, Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Then Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. You know, there's some names as a Christian you don't want to have. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know many Christians that are named Jesus because that's my Lord. You don't hear that? You don't hear him named Jezebel either very often if you're a girl. Name means a lot. So he wanted to change his name to Justice so he wouldn't have the name of the Lord. He also sends his greetings. They are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, he's the one that actually brought the gospel to Colossae. He's a servant of Christ Jesus. He sends greeting, and he's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. I love that. He's a prayer warrior. And Paul says in verse 13, I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. And you guys know, they actually, of course, have dug this up at Laodicea. It's in modern-day Turkey, just so you know. There's Laodicea. Okay, there's Hierapolis. Just so you know, these places in the Bible actually exist, proves the Bible true again and again. And he says, our dear friend Luke the doctor, he wrote Acts, and he wrote the book of Luke, and Demas sends his greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha at the church in her house. He says, after this letter has been read to you, see to it that it's also read in the church of the Laodiceans, so that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. And then tell Archippus, I don't really know anything about Archippus, poor guy's name, but he says, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. And I, Paul, write this greetings in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Now I'm going to leave. If you can just give me 2 minutes, I want to play one quick song before we leave. And I want you to look at this last, let me zip here real quickly before he starts that song. Okay, do you see everybody in verse 17? It says, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received from the Lord. You know, if you have a Bible and you have a pen, why don't you write your name there? Because that message is for you. Tell Carrie, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. Tell Gary, listen, remember, it's the Lord you work for, right? Your God will fight for you. Some of you here are tired, you're weary, you don't have the strength, right? Some of you are beat down, put down, ground down, right? Your God will fight for you. You've already have the victory. Don't let any words from anybody, accusations, trip-ups, purposely, the enemy, don't let anything stop you. You complete the work you have received from the Lord, and you do it in Jesus' name. Amen? George, would you mind closing us with that song? Thanks, brother. Chris, would you mind getting the lights? Tom, would you mind getting the lights back there? Sue, would you mind getting the lights back there? Thanks. Thank you. This is just from three folks. Nothing fancy, guys. Just like us. Nothing fancy. Your God will fight for you.
For you against your enemies to give you the victory. Here's a couple stories about that. I was just a shepherd boy, without a shield, without a sword, fed up with the giant's voice, screaming curses to the Lord. I walked down the hill alone, with a pocket full of real stones, but what the Philistine couldn't see is what I had was more than me. See, on my own I'm weak, but my God fights for me.
I was serving to the king, interpreting his crazy dreams. I won't worship mortal men, so they throw me in the lion's den. Vicious teeth were all I saw. Something came and shut their jaws. Couldn't find a scratch on me. In fact, that night I fell asleep. Morning came and shut them up. Cause my God fights for me. I stumbled into the room with alabaster and my wound. I could feel their judging eyes as I fell before the Christ. I poured my oil upon his feet. I didn't care who saw me weep. I gave up all I had that day. He should have sent me on my way. But instead he lifted up my head. Cause my for me. Whoa. He's my shield. He's my sword. The victory is the Lord's. He's my shield. He's my sword.
What's your story here today? And what's the giant in your way? Are you trapped and can't get out? Or are you staring down a lion's mouth? Can you stand before the Lord? Or do you need to hit the floor? It don't matter what you've done, cause the battle is already won. So lift your voice with me and sing that my for me. Oh yeah. So lift your voice in victory, cause my God fights for me.
The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Let's pray. Father God, I pray your blessings right now on each and every person in this room, that they would be faithful to complete the work that you have given them. I pray that I would simply be faithful to complete the work that you've given me, Lord God. So, Lord, we pray your blessing upon your people, Lord God, that they would hit their knees, that they would be overcomers, knowing that their God fights for them, Lord. We love you and bless you. We pray that blessing on this congregation, Lord, that you would stir up mighty prayer warriors in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.